You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Doug Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, live from the Cup Final. He'll join us in about 5 minutes ahead of Game 5 tonight. Raptors up 2-1 in their series. We just heard that clip coming in talking about how Kawhi kind of sets a standard. And I guess that includes asking him for a fist bump before the game.
Did you see that?
Not allowed. Norman Powell.
He pointed out towards the court and said, let's go out there and play basketball.
And he knew the camera was over there, but he was like, let's go here. Let's
I don't think he ever knows or cares about a camera.
I must have watched that 25 times last night. Yeah. Honestly, I think here are my two takes on this. Okay?
There's a great clip of Kuznetsov on the bench once. He was trying to fist bump the guy beside him, and he just went like this, and he fist bumped himself.
Yeah. Well, it's the worst feeling in the world when there are people around watching you, and they see you with your
Bobby
fist
Bobby Kraft has one, too, with Mark Wahlberg.
Right. At a Super Bowl, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. He's trying to fist bump
Ryan Seacrest has one, too.
No, that was... it was Seacrest, yes, at American Idol.
Yeah,
That
was some.
We're not even getting into that.
That one was very different and not good.
Exactly.
But I have two theories on the Kawhi fist bump gate last night.
Yeah, fist gate.
The view of the camera. Maybe he wasn't looking at Norman Powell. Like maybe he the guy's 6'9" or whatever, and he just didn't. He wasn't paying attention. He was locked in and looking forward, or he actually is a fun guy. And that's a part of the goof.
And was like messing with him.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not giving you fist bumps. You're a loser. Like, get away from me. Because Powell started walking with him and laughing and talking to him.
I thought Powell could try to grab his hand and like...
Yeah.
He was messing with him.
I think Kawhi was just messing with him. I'm going to pretend like you're a pigeon. I'm not giving you a fist bump.
But that's why he knew the camera was there and I thought he was messing with him. But he was like, let's go. Like, just like kind of brushed it off like... I think he was messing with Powell.
There was a great quote, and there's a famous quote from Wayne Gretzky after they lost to the Islanders, how they thought they would go by their dressing room and see them all happy, but there were ice bags, they were just kind of doing that, and apparently somebody, I forget the guy's name, Perkins?
Oh, Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah, he said, something scary happened.
Yep.
I walked by, and I saw the Raptors going to their locker room, and there was no smiles. There was no high-fiving. They are all business, and they want to bring the heat here.
I loved it. That tweet this morning. I saw that, too.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like last night, I guess it was. Kendrick Perkins, who was on the show with us last week. He almost killed Drake a year ago. He said exactly what you said. Like
would
have expected the Raptors to be, hey, we're up 2-1, somersaults and hugs and kisses and good times, and they were all business according to him.
Yeah.
There it is. Kendrick Perkins, quote, I witnessed something very scary tonight after the game. Toronto were walking back to the locker room after the game and nobody was celebrating and they weren't smiling or anything. The boys want the smoke. Take it from a former champ.
I love how he had to throw that one in there.
Former champ.
Yeah, been there, done that. I know. Yeah. But he does know.
You losers wouldn't know what I just witnessed.
But played.
He did play the game.
I think that's the Kawhi effect as well.
Right.
Kawhi's not hooting and hollering. He just, let's go play. That's it.
I think you're probably right that if anyone back there was like popping champagne or something, he would.
Well, I think he has an ounce of. Like, he knows what they want, obviously, and they're halfway there. You start hooting and hollering and stuff, like, you are acting like you haven't been there before.
Right. Yeah, because you haven't achieved a thing yet.
Exactly.
You've won 2 games.
2 out of 4.
You got to win 4.
Exactly. So Danny Green and Kawhi have that experience of at least being to the big stage.
Well, and again,
one more.
Ibaka hasn't won, though, before.
No, but they've been on the big stage.
They have been there before. Yes. You're right. But Serge Ibaka did not win it. Again, that's why I was impressed with the Raptors last night, where, maybe I shouldn't be caring as much about the narratives down in the States and the American media and how they're focused on it. Because I came out at 4 just spitting fire about, the excuses being made State's behalf. And should we feel sorry for Steph, like poor Steph Curry, because he doesn't have Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant out there. But again, I think the Raptors are not getting enough respect considering how raw a lot of their team is. Yes, that's Kawhi true. And Danny Green have won before. Kyle Lowry's never played a road game in the NBA Finals. He was spectacular last night. Pascal Siakam has never played a road game in the NBA Finals. Was unreal. Marcus Gasol. Van Vliet never played a road game in the NBA Finals. Nick Nurse has never coached a road game in the NBA Finals.
A lot of firsts last night.
A lot of firsts, and you wouldn't have known it based on the way they performed. So Steph Curry was still playing. Draymond Green was still playing. Boogie Cousins, Andre Iguodala, and you were at home. And the Raptors stepped in and got a big win.
Yeah.
And it wasn't fluky. You know, they didn't win like a garbage time game where...
No.
You know, they were getting to the line. Like, Golden State got to the line more than the Raptors last night. They had some opportunities.
There
they
wasn't that narrative. Like, did you hear, do you feel bad for LeBron when Kevin Love and Kyrie were hurt?
Exactly. No one said that.
No.
They were like, LeBron, you better step up your game and win now.
Exactly. And that's what kind of bothered me is that Golden State, when they got Kevin Durant, and when they're all healthy... You can't beat those guys. Right. The Raptors wouldn't beat them if Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson were 100% healthy.
But that's how you. That's
they
why
might
you
win
play,
a game or two.
But that's why you play the games.
Absolutely. And this is a reality check for them. Like, this is now finally you are going to be dealing with what every other pro sports team in North America has to deal with: the chance of being mortal.
Yeah.
Like the chance that you're not guaranteed to win, because the past 2 years you were guaranteed. This is great for the NBA. First time in 2 years, it's not a guarantee.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they can't or won't win. I mean, Golden State, they win tomorrow night and Clay's back to 100%. Who knows what's going to happen? Yeah. The Raptors do not have this secured. I'm not trying to give off that vibe like it's over. It's not. But
they gotta feel good.
It's a legitimate series. They played really well. They deserve a lot of time and respect for that.
Agreed.
And Golden State, I'm sorry, you don't get an asterisk. You don't get any excuses because a couple of guys got hurt. That's not the way it works.
I know. That's what I was saying. When I look at the stats, you know, of who's won in certain leagues, there's not an excuse line beside it. This guy was hurt. This happened. The ref screwed them. Like,
exactly.
It's not.
That doesn't work that way.
Winners get crowned. That's it. Like, you know, it happens in every sport. Like, if Boston loses, they're not going to go, okay, so Greshlick had a concussion. Chara had a broken jaw.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Miller couldn't play.
Kevin Miller, like you may have that locally from the media saying, "Geez, they battled, but this, you know, ran into a great team that was more healthy than them." Right. But it's not. It doesn't permeate through the league. Austin Matthews doesn't wake up in Arizona and go, "Okay, well, that I'm going to check that down." Boston should have won, but
exactly.
They didn't have.
You don't get an injury parade,
right?
You know, you lost, but hey. With all the injuries, you may have won, so let's have a parade anyway.
That's why excuses are for losers.
Exactly. And listen, the Raptors, Kawhi's had a bum knee since the second round.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry walks, when he's not on the court, he's got an oven glove on.
Yeah, he's George Costanza.
Van Vliet's hobbling around, chasing around Steph Curry. Like, there are guys injured on both sides.
Yeah.
Of course, it's an advantage not having Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant. Obviously, that goes without saying, but you still got to go out there and play and perform.
Agreed.
And credit to the Raptors for doing that last night. Zdeno Chara, like, it sounds like he's going to play. I don't know what to expect out of him tonight.
I just want to see, honestly.
I don't think he cares. He's that kind of warrior-type athlete where he's like, just give me my regular shift.
I think
there's a week left in this, and I'll give you a week, and then I'll figure my life out.
And
he was out there skating around with the helmet on.
I feel like the competitive juices will be, you know how, once you get...
Sometimes you have your best games when you're just, you're against all odds. It's just...
Now, you think somebody would accidentally, on purpose, a little pop here or there?
Good luck to them. By the way, they better not play against him in the regular season. Because
it'll
probably be his last year next year, and he might end it on you.
Honestly, I'd be disappointed, though, if they didn't.
Well, you got to hit him and play him straight up.
Like a big talker now. You go and do it.
No.
Obviously, I'm not going to do it. But you don't think this guy takes liberties on people? We talked about it all the time.
Absolutely.
Punched John Tavares in the head when he had a shot.
Yep.
Chara would do it to you.
Absolutely.
So if you get a chance to pop him, you better pop him.
But that's what I'm saying.
But are you going to deliberately pick him out in a scrum and punch him in the face?
If I had a chance of winning a Stanley Cup, now here people are going to say, what do you think? You're a tough guy. I get
no,
it.
No,
I'm a radio guy.
That's
talking.
What I'm saying.
But you're telling me you wouldn't do that? If it was 2-2... And you've never won a cup. You're sitting there. You're Ryan O'Reilly. You know, you're Braden Shen.
Well, if you're Patrick Maroon, that's
the
guy
I'm knocking. I was trying to knock his ass through the boards in a regular hit, but I would not pick him out in a scrum. First of all, I couldn't hit his head. I'm not tall enough.
But here's what better
I would not
happen.
Say to myself. That would be beyond Stanley Cup stuff, competitive, like to try to punch him in the head.
You think it would be unsportsmanlike? You would.
Of course it is, but. And some guys would think nothing of it, but that's just not something I would do.
Here's
but
what better not
like I'm
happen.
Not. I wouldn't say to myself before the game, I got to go find Chara in a scrum and make sure I punch him in the face. Because a lot of times when a guy loses a glove, you'll hear everybody on the bench say, slash his hand.
Slash his hand, yeah.
Slash his hand, break his hand. That wasn't my move.
I'm not asking for a guy, if that's not your thing, don't go do it. But if you're aggressive or you've got a chance to get a lick in, I'm telling you, he'd do it to you. You're playing for the Stanley Cup final here. And what I hope doesn't happen tonight, because, again, he pops guys in the face all
okay,
the time.
Okay, I'll rephrase
it. The refs better not give him a pass tonight. If he gets punched with a little pop, they better not be going to the penalty
box. I'll rephrase it. If there's pushing and shoving and punching and a punch-in-the-face contest, then you say, okay, I'm going to punch him. But if there's nothing going on, you can't go up and say, I'm going to punch him.
I'm not saying during the play you go and sucker.
But if he wants to push and shove it,
you better punch him in the head.
But I will
say this,
that's
a different ballgame.
But that's what I was saying. That's what I was talking about.
You're right. I think if somebody deliberately punches Chara in the face tonight, it's an absolute penalty.
It better not be. But it better be if he does it to someone else, then he better go too. But he never does.
Maroon deserved it the other day.
Okay, what if he deserves it? If he pops someone in the back and they turn around and pop him.
Well, I agree.
Okay, join us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Ray Ferraro. How do you expect, if Chara goes tonight, the officials to kind of handle him this evening?
You know, I haven't even thought of this until you guys were talking about it, and If it's a penalty to punch him in the face, then it's a penalty when everybody else gets punched in the face.
Right.
If he's out there, he's fair game.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Ray, you were I think you were at the game, or you may have been overseas yet, but there was beside the net, Maroon took a backhand swipe at Chara a couple games ago, and Chara gave him the uppercut and dropped him. And I defended that, saying Maroon went in there and took a swipe at him. So Chara said, "Well, I'll finish this off." And I still think Maroon sold it. If it's possible to sell it, getting punched in the face by that guy, I'm sure it hurt. But what I'm saying is, if Maroon tries to play him straight up tonight, and they get into a tussle and he pops him, Chara in the face, I think the refs will call a penalty, but they may call both of them because Chara's going to be there too. Like, Chara's not going to back away from anything.
Oh, he'll instigate it, though. He'll get in there, right, and if he feels like he's got to police something.
But I just feel like he's not going to change his game just because he has a fractured jaw.
Well, I'm sure he's not going to try, but part of my thought is, if you're St. Louis, and, you know, Craig Berube's been to a few dances in his day, and I'm sure part of their message is going to be, anytime we are close to him, finish your check.
Yeah.
Run into him. Even if it's not a big check, just bump into him. Can you imagine how uncomfortable it's going to be? So now you've got a guy that's on the ice that's uncomfortable, who's a very important part of their team. Without taking your own team out of their game, make the uncomfortable guy as uncomfortable as you can.
Right.
Yeah.
Keep running into him. If you're skating up the ice on a back check, just bump into him. Bump your shoulder into, I don't know, for me it would be his waist, but like bump into him. Just make him, like, jar his body as much as you can so you make him uncomfortable. Remember back in 2013, guys, Sidney Crosby had that bubble on because he got whacked in the face. And he took it off in the first game. There was a scrum. And like you say, Noodles, he was there. And Chara popped him right in the mush.
Yeah.
First game. If you're in the game, you're in the game. And, I can't imagine guys are going to say, oh, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to skate over so I can punch him in the mouth. Like, guys aren't going to do that.
No.
But if there is a scrum going on, he's pretty easy to pick out. He's the tallest guy on the ice. But if guys are flailing away and he gets one in the side of the mush, well, so be it. That's the way it is.
Yeah, well, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying during the play, you stop short on a back check and pop him in the head or anything stupid like that. But
no.
He is the king of, oh, there's a scrum over there, I'm going to go and police it. He's done it his whole career. That's what makes him so great. I wish he was on my team. But now, you don't think there's some Blues who over the past 10 years haven't been popped by this guy? And now you got an opportunity where he's wounded.
But like he said, he's got another year.
That's fine. The Cup Finals tonight.
Yeah, you better be careful with that.
How many guys would take a beating next year for a Cup ring this year? A lot of guys.
Yeah, just be ready.
It's going to hurt.
You only play him twice a year, so next year you could have a pulled hamstring.
I was just going to say, you circle both of those dates on the calendar and go, can't go.
Couldn't
you
make come it.
I will not never say the name, but I had a teammate that knew he was going to have to answer for something. And like 3 days before that game, you knew he was going down. And it was the game before, and he came up bad back because he knew he didn't have to answer what was going on. Like, that was one of the most predictable injuries in the history of the NHL. But you end up getting a piece of Chara tonight.
Right.
You better be careful next year. But you're right.
Well, Moore hit him in against the Toronto Maple Leafs, where there's been people knocking him on his ass. I've never seen it before. So just do that, and hopefully that pushes him out of the series.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because just think. So if Chara plays, there's no guarantee Matt Grzelcyk is going to play. He's not, he's a game-time decision, too. So the Bruins might go with 7D. They would pull David Backes likely out of the lineup. And if they do that, now you've got a domino effect. How much can Chara play? How much can the other guy play? Whether it might be Steven Kamp, or what if, because if Grzelcyk can't play and you don't have Grzelcyk and Chara and Kevin Miller, man, you're way down into your 8, 9, and 10 defensemen. Like, aside from the injury stuff, this is like they're hanging by a thread health wise here, and it's amazing to watch. Every year we talk about it all the time, that what these guys play through, and I guess what we all played through when we were trying to make our way. And you're like, it's not even a thought. You're just like, yeah, I can play. Sure, I can try this. And they do what they do, and you get in the game, and you hope you can give your team something. That's what Chara's trying to do now.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got all the time and respect in the world for him. And if he's playing, that's incredible. And I'm not saying he's not going to be out there asking guys to take it easy on him. He would never do that. He's got too much respect for the game. He knows what he's walking into.
Yeah.
Like, he understands that. But, I'm fascinated with the officiating tonight, because he's going to be a focal point, like, because of who he is and the injury that everyone is aware of.
But it's not the official's job to protect him.
No, it's
right.
not.
Right.
It's not.
If you're going to call a penalty because player X from St. Louis punches him in the mush, then you better call it the other way too.
Yep,
On an unrelated scrum. If you're going to let guys punch each other in the nose, then it's everybody gets to, or nobody gets to. And that, Brian, I hadn't even thought of that today. And that's a pretty interesting point. And, because it's going to happen. It's not like these two teams are going to come out and there's going to be no scrums. I mean, like, that's not going to happen.
No way. Game five of the Cup Final.
Yeah.
We're going to see something, and they'll get tested early. I'm certain they would have had in their pregame meetings, the officials have discussed that scenario and how it gets called.
Yeah.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, Bob McKenzie reporting that Jeff Skinner and the Sabres are kind of into crunch time on a contract extension, and Bobby Mack saying if it happens in Buffalo, we're talking 8 years, around $9 million per.
Too much. Too much.
But that's what goal scorers are getting paid.
It's always too much. The problem is, okay, so say you let them go. You can't get the deal done because you're like, gosh, that's too much. Then who are you going to get?
I know, and I feel, Ray, like this is Jack Eichel telling the team, you better get this guy done for me, as he's done in the past. You better do this, you better do that. I got a feeling they had success, and it's the old Jack's got to get what Jack needs, and it's like, get me this guy, no matter what cost. It's like, that's too much money for Jeff Skinner. He's a fantastic talent. He knocked it out of the park last year, invisible in the second half.
Well, his numbers, I went back and looked at it. Now, this is cherry picking. He had 40 total.
Right.
Like, 40 goals is 40 goals.
To me, he's a 30 goal scorer.
That's what he is. Like, the last 25 games, he scored 4 goals, including 2 in the final game.
Which sometimes you just say, you know what, 40's 40.
Right. Yeah.
Scored 40, and it adds up to 40.
Oh, here's another way to look at this, too, then. So, he had a great year. He got 40. Everybody's kicking dirt around Winnipeg on Patrick Laine. He got 30. Terrible year. He got 30. If Jeff Skinner gets 8 times 9, what does Winnipeg have to pay Laine?
Yeah, it's no kidding.
13.
Right, like it's the same thing. He got an, if it's possible, he scored an ugly 30 goals. He had 18 in November. You just mentioned Skinner scored, you know, if you scratch the last game, he got 2 in the last quarter and a bit of the season. Like, how do you come up with a number that makes sense? The goal scorers are going to collect it, and the teams are up against it, because if Skinner goes, where are they going to find another guy to score goals?
That's what kind of where I was leaning. Like, Austin Matthews makes 11.6 next year. Is that correct? 11.6, 3.4?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's, you know, 5-on-5. I know the numbers, but he's been injured 2 years in a row. He scored 40 and then in the 30s. Like, that's $11.5 million right there. Like, goal scoring gets paid. That's really what it is. If you can find the back of the net, and I know playmakers and guys who drive lines, William Nylander makes 7.5. He's never got more than 61 or 2 points.
Right, but Skinner hasn't really either. Like, well, Skinner had 63
but Skinner
points.
Skinner scores goals.
Yes, he William did.
William Nylander hasn't scored more than 22 in a season.
Do you think Skinner is $2.1 million per year better than Nylander if you're running a team?
Well, it's a tough question because of the year Nylander just had.
Right. Well, and there's a bit of a tax here in Buffalo, I think, as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to pay a little.
And he's unrestricted.
Yeah.
The other guy.
Just
sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, unrestricted versus restricted.
Right.
And he's got, you know, Skinner's got him over a barrel here. And
take advantage of it. Go ahead. I wouldn't pay it.
Well, put it this way.
But again, okay, so you're not going to pay it. So what are you going to do? Their American League team's got nobody ready to be a goal scorer at the NHL level.
Well, speaking of Nylander, his brother's supposed to be kind of ready, but he's nowhere close.
Doesn't sound like it's going
to
happen.
Not even close to being this. So you take away 40 goals from a team that missed the playoffs, you got to replace him.
That's the perfect situation for him, Ray. He's got the leverage, and he's going to use it, and he looks like he's going to. But if it's me running a team, I don't know. I'm not giving Jeff Skinner that much money over that much term.
But you've got to have somebody else there. So who can you get?
I haven't looked that far.
Well, Kyle Turris is available.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot. What I'm saying is, like, that's the decision those guys have. Okay, we don't want to pay him this. So he leaves. Then what?
Right.
They don't even have enough assets to go make a trade to bring in a score.
Yeah.
So it would have to be a free agent guy. So you're going to give somebody that you don't know, that doesn't have any chemistry with Eichel, you're going to give him a gross amount of money and hope he can score.
Ray, I guess the summary is he's put himself and the organization in a position where they have no choice. He had the year,
right,
and he said, look, this is what it's going to take to keep me, and they're under the gun. They have no choice but to do it. And that's just the
but
way
that
the chips
limit, are though, right? Like, I guess, did he stop at 9, or was he at, like, 10, and they talked him down? Because there's got to be a limit somewhere, you know. Well, like, at some point, you say, "Yes,
right,
we can't replace you." But obviously, we can't.
But why wouldn't
you
ask for 10?
I'm not saying you shouldn't. But are you? But based on the logic that you have to keep him because you don't have another option,
right?
Then what are you going to pay him? $15 million a year? Like, at some point, you have to stop and say, clearly, that's outrageous.
Right.
Yeah, but maybe he did ask for 10, and maybe they said, you know what? Then the deal is going nowhere. And then he came back and said, okay, what about 8 times 9? Right, like, I would ask for it too. Why not?
Yeah, I'm not saying he shouldn't. And if he gets it, great for him. He's not going to kill you. He's a good player. He's a good player.
Well, and like I said, goal scoring gets paid.
But here's what I wanted to say. Would you say that now they're different style of players, but based on the way they can score, would you say that he is a better goal scorer than James Van Riemsdyk?
No.
No. And JVR got 5 years at 7.5.
Markets change because of contracts like William Nylander's, because they're looking at it and going, that guy's got 22. I scored 40. That's because we compare. We're comparing. You can't look back and go, okay, well, David Pastrnak makes 6.7.
No, I know, but we're talking a scoring winger who's a UFA,
right?
Who just a year ago. I mean, I think it's a reasonable comparison, Van Riemsdyk. And it's not even, I'm not trying to cast, you know, aspersions on Skinner. I'm just saying, a year ago, this type of production, goal scorer, power play guy, 5 years, 7.5. This year, 8 years, 9 million.
And the other thing I would say is what Ray said or O said, the Buffalo tax.
Yeah.
Like, I say it all the time, and it's with, I'm from Edmonton. Edmonton has to pay a tax. Winnipeg has to pay a tax.
Calgary.
I think Buffalo. Calgary, not so much. I think because of the tax situation in Alberta, and it's a nice city. But some of those other termed grittier cities, there might be a million-dollar tax right there.
There could be,
Per season.
Yep.
You know, it's...
And that's the beauty of free agency. The players have all the right in the world to ask for what they want and control the process.
Right.
They do.
But, okay, so, Brian, there's another point to that. And that's why when the team stomps on a player when he's a restricted free agent, that's why they should do it. You have the collective bargaining agreement in your favor. Sometimes use it. Because other times you don't, and you're up against the ropes. And so when a restricted free agent like Nylander last year, it would have been every bit in the Leafs' best interest to drive a stake in the ground and say, then you're sitting out this year.
Yeah.
Because look at how it's changed things. Like, you only control the player so long. There's only a few years, well, a lot actually, 7 years, that you control the player. After that, you're spinning around and you're trying to make the best you can because guys can leave as free agents. So Skinner should use the CBA to his advantage, and the team should use it when they have the advantage. And I don't know if enough do.
Game 5 Cup Final tonight. We'll catch you on SportsCenter. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
See you later, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are back. Purchase any new vehicle and get a $500 gift certificate to Appliance Canada. Plus, get rates from 0%. Visit MapleToyota.com. Yeah, the truth is, because the RFA stuff has changed so drastically, it's very confusing to get a read on any market.
Well, you're right.
Like, but everything has changed.
But you have to, like, UFA, that is, like, you can walk.
Absolutely.
Like you just need another team. Like, we're talking about Mitch Marner as a RFA potentially meeting with other teams. Kyle Dubas is like, never heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've heard
never
that
happened.
Since
we're aware of publicly, anyway.
Publicly.
But he's an RFA. Like, again, like, Mitch Marner's an RFA.
Right.
But he's not acting like an RFA. And why would he? Because Matthews didn't. McDavid didn't. Eichel didn't. Those guys said, I don't care about RFA. You're paying me like I'm the superstar of the team.
And they got paid.
And they got paid.
Right.
And, well,
Skinner, I think it's about
really
a million too rich, personally. I could see if it was eight. But I think you're looking at the Buffalo tax.
Yeah, I do think that's a part of it. Yeah, and an 8-year deal, it's a lot of security, but he's been very durable, and he's 27
years old.
Well, since
the concussions.
Yeah, but that was like year two or three in his career.
Right, like that's, but, you know.
Past 5 years, he's played 75-plus.
A lot of hockey, right.
He's a good player. Like, he faded in the final quarter of the season with the whole team.
Right.
But,
well, that's one thing that Ray, I think he was trying to get to you all about was, that team struggled with him. You take him out of the lineup, you're going to have to replace that, even try and do that with somebody else.
Right, but you could also use that against him. Hey, we lost with you.
Right.
Why am I paying you all this money?
You can't use anything against the UFA. They'll just hang up the phone and say, screw you, we'll go somewhere else.
You're right, but the team does have the right to say, we're not paying you, go ahead.
And
they can't say leave.
But that's what I said. The situation is they're bad enough where they're like, we got to do this.
Yeah.
Well, and 40's 40. Like you say, however it came about, like, you don't have an asterisk beside your 41, right?
Apparently just minutes played in one game.
Right. 40's 40. Now, he's probably a 30-60 guy.
I think so, too.
I think that's what Skinner is, which is 30. A really good player. Really good player. But, you know, you bring up Nylander, and you're right. That had an effect on everything. But Nylander at 6.9, Skinner at 9, you know, I think the Leafs are... Probably they can reason with that compared to Skinner.
Well, not if Nylander plays like he did.
No. But, you know, as much as Skinner's not a 40-goal scorer, I don't think Nylander is what he showed us down the stretch.
22-goal scorer. That's what he was for 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, I think I personally didn't like the deal. Like, I thought he rinsed the Leafs.
I thought he got a player-friendly deal as
And he changed the landscape because... I think he was Nikolai Ehlers every day of the week. Ehlers got $6 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
60-point guy.
You can't argue that.
But that's,
Zach's,
you know.
I would have given the exact same deal.
But that's.
Well, I think they tried to, and he.
And he used the leverage, but he has to bounce back this year.
Oh,
there's
absolutely.
No doubt about that.
There's a Dreger hot stove under the gun.
Yeah.
We'll do our own. under the gun league-wide in September. I guarantee you on all of our list, him and Babs will be creeping around number one.
They'll be real high. Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider, in about an hour. Mark Kestacher from ESPN Radio as well. He called the game last night. He'll join us in about a half an hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so Kyle Lowry had himself quite an evening last night. Not only did he put up big numbers, shot the lights out, but he got a billionaire owner banned for a year and fined $500,000.
Of his own team. That's weird. Banned from his own team.
Yeah, Mark Stevens, who is a minority owner of the Golden State Warriors, he was the guy that shoved Kyle last night when Lowry was chasing down a ball and jumped into the stands, pushed him, and Lowry said today during the media that he told him to go somewhere a couple of different times.
Go F himself type of thing.
Yeah. And the NBA has now banned this guy for a year and fined him $500,000.
I think it's a bit excessive. I personally, like I said, I don't condone one bit. Kyle Lowry did nothing wrong. That was his workspace. But, you know, I don't care about the verbal jab. Then Drake should be fined all the time too for the verbal jabs. The physical stuff, absolutely unacceptable.
And
unacceptable.
This is all about Kyle Lowry. He could have acted like. I'm surprised he even realized the guy did it.
Well, if the guy's chirping,
he's trying to get up and get back into the play. He could have walked back, and this guy would have been nothing. But he made a big deal of it, and he is just putting the screws to this guy. Well, and you can't do that. He's a player. Don't touch the players, blah, blah, blah. But banned for a year? Come on, man.
I think it's because of his position. You know, I think the league's probably embarrassed. They're like, what the hell are you doing?
Exactly.
You're an owner of the team.
If that was Joe Blow.
Well, he wouldn't have done it to Steph Curry.
Well, you said it best. I mean, they got LeBron James on board and everybody starts attacking.
That's what I
think
is happening.
Look, you can't do it, but for this to happen, it's like.
I think this is the NBA. They're trying to defuse the situation as quickly as possible.
Right. Make a strong statement. And then.
Because LeBron posting on Instagram, on Twitter, he's going after this guy. You know, there are other players saying this guy should be done with the league. He should be out of here. Kyle doubled down on it, I believe, again today, saying this guy shouldn't be around.
That's asinine. It's asinine for him to be out of the league forever because of a little shove. Like, he didn't sucker him. He didn't knock a tooth out or whatever. It's unacceptable. But what's the line?
Like, well,
this is the court of public opinion.
Like, if they had said this guy's not allowed to attend any more games in the NBA Finals, that would be more than enough.
That's how quickly this morning he was done for the rest of the playoffs. And now the investigation's over, apparently.
Right.
And it's actually banned for a year and you're fined $500,000.
I think this has
happened so quickly, and I absolutely believe it's because of LeBron, Lowry, Steph Curry, Andre Iguodala. Like, guys are like, unacceptable. No one should be touching us. No one should be pushing us. That kind of language.
He's
an owner. He should know better. You can't fight the players when they start turning on you. You're in big trouble.
The language? Okay. Ridiculous.
What about the player? This year, Kevin Durant was just telling a fan to just... What about the players? They're just allowed, like, whatever they want to do. Because there was a situation where Kevin Durant, he was just teeing off on some guy. And I don't think the guy pushed him. Obviously, he didn't, or he wouldn't have been sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
You know the play I'm talking about?
I know exactly
about?
What you're talking about.
Yeah.
So is he just allowed to do that?
Yeah,
why is it a big deal when this guy told Kyle Lowry to go F himself?
Well, it's because there was physical contact.
Go look at the clip of Kevin Durant just berating a fan. Yeah. What's his fine for that going to be going forward?
But
I don't have that answer. I mean, players always get treated differently.
But it comes back to the sticks and stones. You know, names will never hurt you. That's the thing. Like, the verbal jousting, you can be mean and all of that. It's because of the physical touch, the push.
And it was a push. Like, it wasn't hard or anything.
It wasn't. But
no,
it was,
but it was
still,
he wasn't trying to help or he didn't pat him on the back.
He reached over and gave him a push. And he deserves
it. This is many moons ago, but what did Dennis Rodman get for kicking the cameraman in the nuts?
I think that guy sued him 100%, and Rodman had to settle with him.
Yeah.
Because the guy pretended like he lost a testicle.
Do you remember what the league action? He kicked the cameraman in the balls.
Yeah.
And I think the cameraman... Like, he left on a stretcher.
I think he had the neck brace out.
Well, the physical touch, unacceptable. The verbal jousting, I'm fine with it. Like, it's because you have a certain expectation as an owner. That's why I got so disappointed in Drake. because there's a fine line, and he acted like a jackass in the, all playoffs long. He's crossed that line. So this guy crossed the line even more with the physical contact. The verbal jousting,
you hear it all the time. I'm sure if you're courtside, guys are yelling.
Unless
they're throwing,
it's racial, homophobic, whatever, that goes without saying.
But swearing is not something that that these guys, I think, are really generally offended by.
Yeah, so don't add it in. The guy told me to F myself. Oh, big deal.
Well, again, this guy would not react that way if that was a Warrior player that ran in, clearly.
Right.
You know, let's be honest. He did that because it was the Raptors. His team was losing. He's clearly invested literally and figuratively into the team.
Right.
But I honestly think it's because of
the outrage.
The outrage from the players.
From the players,
not from the media, not from the fans.
And not just any player.
LeBron James is chiming in on this guy and basically saying he's a dope and get him out. When LeBron speaks... The NBA has to listen. You can like it, you can dislike it, you can think about it whichever way you want. I can guarantee you they are freaking out. They are freaking out in the NBA because they're like, what the hell are we going to do here?
Yeah.
That's why it has escalated so quickly over the course of, you know, 18 hours. It went from an investigation to he's not coming to any more games to banned for a year and he's fined $500,000. If the players keep going, who knows where we're going to be tomorrow. It may be actually, you know what, we're talking to him and he's got to go altogether. I hope not. That seems
asinine.
Ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous.
But Kyle actually, like he said, Kyle could have diffused the situation and
but
said,
it's not his
you're
problem.
An idiot.
No,
but
it's not his problem to do that.
It's his.
But he made it a bigger.
Don't touch him.
He made it a big deal.
He did.
That's a thing.
But don't touch him.
I agree.
Like Ty Domi could have just said, hey, don't. Sorry, man.
No,
but he didn't.
You're right.
Right?
You're right.
Rob Ray could have just been like, it's okay.
But if that was Joe Fan. If that was an owner of the Flyers, if that was Ed Schneider that jumped over the glass.
But players don't know who a minority owner is.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if we found out that Ty Domi was fighting the minority owner, like, would they force him to, like, that's the thing. It's because of LeBron James. It's because of the players.
And the responsibility of an owner.
Absolutely.
Like, let's be honest. These guys should be held to a different standard.
Absolutely. You should never
than the average fan.
You shouldn't lay your hands on anybody. Even if it was just a feather push or not, he laid his hands on somebody. It's not assault. People are writing assault.
He's not getting
it's
arrested
an idiotic
or anything.
Thing
of
to
not.
Say assault. It's idiotic.
Yeah, it's insulting to actual assault.
Right. I still come back to the lady in the yellow. Like, she could have been stretchered out. I don't know. Have you guys seen that hit? It's one of the hardest hits I've ever seen.
Well, she was in the second row. Like, Jason Day got Jason Day's... fiance got laid out, I think, by LeBron in Cleveland.
I was more worried about her. She got destroyed.
Yeah. No, it's tough, man. Like these guys are big boys and they are motoring.
That owner deserves repercussions. I just don't know what's the line. And like you said, Hayes, the line keeps getting moved because the noise gets louder.
Yeah. That's what's going on here.
The freaky thing is he looks like the biggest nerd. Like he's never pushed a guy in his life. And he just decided to push a guy in the NBA Finals, and it cost himself 500 G's.
Well, Kevin tweeting, and remember this year when Russell Westbrook was in Utah? Now, I think he was accusing him, the fan, of racial commentary. I believe that was the case. But Kevin tweets in a good point. He said, a fan in Utah got banned for life for yelling at Westbrook. Why would an owner be treated any differently? Or why wouldn't he? Like, this guy didn't get banned for life. He's done for a year, and then you can come back.
It's just still too much. It's too much, personally. It's like to say, I get it, and I've defended Kyle on this, but
maybe
it wasn't...
Maybe the guy thought your wife's sitting there, and it's an emotional thing. You're just like, get away from my wife.
But
you know what
you don't
I mean?
Need to double down and swear at him. Like, that's the thing. It looked like there was a confrontation, but it's not, like, it wasn't assault.
And
it wasn't,
I get it, it's the players' court, and you can't touch the players, but if somebody just is a commotion like that, I don't know, don't you think just natural instinct, you'd be like, man, get away from me.
Well, put it this way, if Kyle strokes him and gives him a pushback,
and that's what a lot of people are saying. What if he pushes Kyle, which he did, and Kyle gets up and pushes him back?
Then we're talking about Kyle.
Then Kyle's suspended for the rest of the year. Kyle's, you know, Ron Artest, Kyle, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And
well, that fan, Ron Artest, that went after that fan deserved it.
Like, well, I don't think he actually got to the guy, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I don't know if he got to the guy that actually threw the drink at him.
Right. Like, I would have had no problem if Adam Pardee climbed into the stands in Chicago and suckered that idiot who took his helmet.
But there's another. Was that stupid? That's not assault. The guy's a dummy that was a booze bag. He took his helmet.
But that was more of an assault.
That's an assault.
That's more of an assault on Adam Pardee. And ripped it off of his head. And the strap was wrapped around.
You think that was the same as the guy pushing the guy's arm?
No, I think they're equally as harmless. I don't think Adam Pardee, who's a pretty tough guy, was actually dropping to the ice and needed to be carted off. Right. They were both stupid.
The guy last night just was like,
I know, they're both nothing. Yeah. Like, was that one a little bit worse? Yes, but let's not pretend like that guy should have gone to jail for 20 years.
No.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, he was a drunk idiot.
Right.
And it sounds like this owner was a
He could have been boozed up too. Who knows?
But I just think it's a bit rich, like the year suspension.
But it's the NBA trying to prove to the players that they got their back. That's what it is. You know, that's my read on it anyway.
Yeah.
Mark Kestacher from ESPN Radio in about 20 minutes. Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider from the Cup Final, Game 5 tonight coming up. And we're tracking the Canadian Open. Brooks Koepka, who said he doesn't really care about the result this weekend, shot an even par today.
Good for you.
Yeah, there you go. Couple of them must have rolled in for you, Brooksy.
You played like it. You acted like you didn't care, and you played like it.
I don't know, Brooksy. Get the hell out of here, Brooksy. The Golf Report is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Tick every box this summer in a Subaru with great rates on your favorite 2019 models. Visit your local Ontario Subaru dealer today. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Big news down at the Rogers Centre. They actually opened the roof today. So the roof is now open. It's operating.
Well, it's not under construction.
I guess the construction is officially over. And how about the Blue Jays winning again last night? Taking the first two against the Yankees.
Trap games, I guess, for the Yankees.
Must be.
You call them trap games.
Must be. You know, like the offense showed up last night. Vladdy hit a missile. Now, nobody was watching because the Raptors game had started.
Yeah.
But I was watching the highlights this morning, and I saw, like, on the clock at the Rogers Center, it was like 10:03 p.m. or 10:06. I'm like, no kidding.
Yeah.
Feathers. Literally no one was watching that.
I bet you the guys had the Raptors game on in either in the dugout or in the dressing room.
It's a sport that would be conducive to that. If you're sitting on the bench, fire up the game.
I don't know. I think you got to say to yourself, no, not doing it. Like, why couldn't they have moved the game up to 6 p.m. start?
I don't know. You sold the tickets. I mean, it is what it is. You can't. Not much you can do. The NBA game didn't start till 9.
What was the announced attendance?
I didn't see that last night.
Like, I bet you that was, well, because it's the Yankees. 15 grand. Weren't we talking about it was about 15?
Yeah.
I was saying under. I thought it would be under.
I'll check it out.
Because of the Raptor game last night.
Yeah. But you said it was early enough they can still get out of there and get home and watch it.
There were people technically in the crowd when Vladdy hit that home run.
Well, for sure. Because there are people that love baseball that don't love basketball.
Right. And if you're just even not a big sports fan and you got tickets, it's cool to go down. And why would you leave if you don't really care about the Raptor game?
Man, but that would be, that's a tough one, though, if you're
committed to the Raptors, man, that would have been borderline impossible to pay attention. Or to care at all about the Blue Jays. Like, you know who the Jays are and what they're doing.
Yeah, they've got listed at 16609.
Over the number last night.
No way.
Over the number. Now, that's paid.
What did I say, 15?
Yeah.
I bet you there was 12,000 of actual
live bodies.
Real rear ends in the seats.
Yeah, I agree with you. Back into the Raptors' win last night. We'll start teeing up Game 4 tomorrow night. And Bob McKenzie ahead of Game 5 of the Cup Final live from Boston at 625. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.